Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Medical Advantage Podcast. Once again, I am Rebecca Duke, your host for this episode. Today, we are joined by Jim Muska, a seasoned EHR consultant with a great depth of experience in EHR solutions. For those checking out our podcast for the first time, welcome. We are Medical Advantage, a healthcare services company providing a broad portfolio of services for medical practices, specialists, groups, and private equity. So much of our content, including this podcast, centers around EHRs, but today we will touch on the super user. In our blogs and ebook, we talk about super users a little bit, but one thing we haven't covered yet is what to do when your super user leaves your organization. While you would hope that the super user would stay long enough to train their replacement, this isn't always the case, and departures could be abrupt. So let's have our in-practice technology expert weigh in on what organizations should do and have in place for mitigation should the super user leave the organization for any given reason. Welcome to the podcast, Jim.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Rebecca.
So to provide a full context, Jim, could you please start out by explaining what a super user does?
Sure. Well, the short answer would be everything from A to Z. They handle everything from user sign-ons and access all the way through end-user training, builds, and setup, as well as working and coordinating the EHR workflows with the other sections or other departments within the practice. So RCM, quality, and any other reporting measures that are needed depending on the practice setup. So it would be making sure that the interfaces work in terms of billing, in terms of pharmacy, in terms of, so basically they're a super user has the ability to help assess and remedy any break fix type issues, as well as when you want to take your EMR or EHR to the next level.
Thank you, Jim, for this discussion. I think it's important that we really fully lay out what a super user does as a starting point. So what is an organization looking for when they choose their super user?
You want the technical competencies, right? You want that almost IT level technical competencies. You want somebody who has demonstrated a knowledge of how your system works. So some systems are based off of forms or templates. Some systems are based off a little bit more of specific user preference. And so you want somebody who knows the difference between your system, let's say one system, system A and system B, and why you would want to do all of your setup, all of your fixes in a certain method. And that's familiarity with the system, so that you can get the easiest results if they have to do a build or do some unfamiliar task. You want to start interfacing with quality components. Well, you have to be able to recognize that there is a way that you're going to have to do that in order to be successful. So you want someone who has, it's kind of hard to put a specific, they want this competency, but you want somebody with a high level of computer competency, understand the logic of the system, and then you want someone who can utilize your specific system to achieve the goals of the organization. It's a very difficult process. The easier way is to have a person internally who has been identified as having a few of the key factors. So they have, you know, the technical ability. They have an interest in being a super user. They want to learn more about the system and how it interacts. And they have the ability to take a view from a 30,000-foot level and see that the EHR, the clinical application, is going to interface with several other applications. So the reason why it's easier to get somebody internally is because they are familiar with your specific EHR, as opposed to getting somebody and say, okay, we're going to bring in a super user and we're going to go through IT pools and whatnot to get those same qualities. But the problem is then you have to begin teaching from square one the specific system that your company utilizes.
So let's talk about the real world consequences of not being prepared for the departure of a super user. What happens when an organization finds themselves without a super user?
Well, basically the practice comes to a standstill in terms of those ongoing processes, as well as any type of upgrade that you need. Recently, with the 21st Century Cures Act, most EMRs changed. They had to change in order to meet the quality goals to comply with the Cures Act. Well, if you have a departure of your super user at that time, and you have one super user, and because that's back burner, that was going to happen in December, and you know we're going day to day here in September or October, we're not focused on that, and then all of a sudden that second super user is now dealing with something they have no frame of reference on. So that can be a real problem. Those types of patches, scheduled maintenance, those things will then, and it depends on whether the practice is on-premise or whether they're hosted, those type of things all factor into the usability of the EMR. And when the knowledge, to say that the person who has that knowledge departs in the middle of that process, there can be, basically, it can get lost in the shuffle in the transition. And then you don't have, you maybe are not upgrading in a timely fashion. And then you maybe have one patch that triggers off a previous patch and those are not getting done. And so the fixes become larger.
Thank you, Jim. With that said, we can move into why they are leaving. I've heard that one of the main reasons that super users end up leaving an organization is that they get tempting offers. They've developed this really valuable skill set, and now they are prime targets for recruiters. Is that still the case?
You cannot control the outside forces. So ideally, a super user could leave tomorrow. And understanding that as the reality of the situation, you want to do all the things to retain that person in their primary role. So yes, benefits, time off, you want to meet that person where whatever their needs are or their desires are. You want to keep, obviously any organization wants to keep talented people. However, sometimes there is a better offer, or sometimes it could be, you know, a medical issue. It could be a different stage of life, like somebody retires somebody retires midlife as opposed to a little bit later in their where they normally traditionally enter retirement. So because of the nature of the forces. So while you can't control those outside things where somebody may make them an offer, you can make your job that you're paying for as attractive as possible. It's better to be prepared for their departure than it is to spend all your effort trying to keep them, if that makes sense.
Yes, thank you for confirming that. I think it's important for our audience to know that that continues to be an issue surrounding super users. So I just want to make sure we haven't left anything out. Is there any other reasons for turnover that you've noticed with super users?
Well, it's one, as we just identified, you know, talented people are sought after. Two, there's also whatever the reasons of turnover in any organization, they are still in play with super users. So if somebody is at a different stage in life and wants to move into having weekends off, for instance, is more important to them than, let's say, financial compensation, they make all those same decisions. So you have the same reasons that happen in any organization, as well as the added level of they may be pursued by other players in other geographical locations for remote work. You know, that can happen where you're going to be a remote user. I know several super users who are not in the same area codes or even on the same half of the country as the practices they work for.
Thank you for all of that, Jim. I think that creates a complete picture of common reasons for super user attrition. And with these retention strategies having a dubious success rate, what is the most proactive way to deal with super users leaving an organization?
I think one that is always important is do not have a single super user. Never is it a good idea to have all the repository of any information being one person. There are several factors that can change that person's desire to stay with the organization. And while you are keeping them happy, a lot of times what I have found is that you hire, let's say, a practice manager for a very specific set of skills. So you're hiring a practice manager and you get a very competent and dynamic leader as your practice manager. However, they have never used the system before. And now you're sort of forcing them into learning a new system. So I would think one of the best strategies or first strategy is try not to have a single super user. And then that, of course, depends on the size of practice, but also have multiple super users so that your practice manager can be a practice manager first and a super user second. And then you have multiple people who can fulfill the super user role in different parts of the application. And it depends on the type of departure, right? So in a, let's call it a perfect world, the person says, I'm having a change of life goals and I'm going to be leaving in a month and I will not be working in the industry anymore. Now you have 1 month to prepare for that eventuality. If you've created the capacity within the organization where you have someone who can step into that role, then you can begin the training process. And that is probably, I'm going to call it position B. Position A would be to have several super users, and then you can rearrange assignments where they have all had similar training. So you can rearrange work responsibilities so that the three can now cover the fourth. And then you bring in a fourth person where you can coach them up and get them to that level of familiarity with the system. And then you can get back to full strength. If it is a sudden departure and you haven't done those things, well, that's a completely different story. Then you're kind of left with, you need to, on an interim basis, insert a subject matter expert or several subject matter experts to meet all the goals and all the processes that are ongoing in any practice. You onboard people maybe monthly, maybe weekly, depending on the size of the practice. You offboard people. You have new providers that come on that need to be trained on the system, from everything how to prescribe to how to, you know, fill out their notes. And so if that is the case where you don't have any other super users and you still have these requirements that are, I don't want to call them daily requirements, but they're regular requirements where you have to have training, where you have to have, you know, creation of templates or favorite list, or these things need to be filled by somebody. Your best bet in that case is to call somebody like Medical Advantage.
All solid advice. Thank you, Jim, for explaining all of that. I just heard you mention that it might be time to call Medical Advantage. Could you explain the role that a consulting firm would play in a successful super user transition?
We work with several EMRs. And we have several consultants who are subject matter experts on name your EMR here. And we can then partner with you to replace that. So I have several clients. Some of them tell me whenever we hire a new provider, you are our trainer. Okay, that's the relationship. And we'll take a holistic look at whatever the needs are. Once you hire a new super user, we can train them on the specific, and we've done this in the past. On that specific EMR. So they're a great practice manager. They have a history and a resume that indicates that. However, they've never used this system. You have us come in, we train them, and then they are now a super user for your system as well as a great practice manager. It all depends on the nature of it. And I call them a warm departure versus a hostile departure. And what I mean by hostile departure is it's somebody is leaving and one of the two parties is not exactly thrilled about the departure. That is a tough situation to be in, because while you want your current super users to be able to train future super users, there's something that's referred to as training drift, where if they remember 95% of their job, or they have an opportunity to demonstrate 95% of their job, the 5% that they did not demonstrate, that knowledge is now institutionally gone. And so your next super user knows 95% of the job. And the same thing happens with them. Now you're down to 92%. And if after enough generations of that, you have super users who don't know the entire system and have not been keeping up with changes of the systems, patches, updates, upgrades. When your EMR takes a huge upgrade and it doesn't appear any different, but there's some functionality that has changed, you need to hire somebody like Medical Advantage to come in and partner with you during that period.
Thank you, Jim. I think the more we have these conversations, the better we can help people connect with the right resources for the right challenges. And it sounds like external resources are absolutely necessary to deal with the major challenge of the need for super users and keeping that super user function going, even in the absence of one. So on an administrative level, what can be done to be proactive with the anticipation that there may be some time between regaining that capacity for the super users that your organization will need?
You want to have consistent practices and workflows. It's just general good medicine that everybody is utilizing the same type of procedures and workflows across the practice, whether it be, you know, a single provider all the way up to, you know, 30, 40 providers. You want the same workflows across the board so that when you lose that super user, you have the ball 90% of the way down the field. Now, anything new coming in, any new changes, any governmental changes that need to be addressed, there's going to be a little bit of time that's going to pass in between. We recognize that something new is on the horizon and we don't have the person specifically. So then you're going to need to identify knowledgeable users within the organization so that they can step up in an interim basis, or that you have a pool of individuals that you can promote from within.
So without question, you need super users and you need enough of them. So Jim, could you go into an explanation of how many super users an organization should have and which roles they need to cover?
You know, the size of the practice has to be a consideration, as, you know, revenue dictates how many people you can have. Let's say it's, if we're talking about the Utopia setup, and you're, let's say you have a larger practice, and I have a couple of large practices that have done it this way. I would say you have one super user who is in your IT space. They're used to working with sign-ons. They're used to working with interfaces, HL7 interfaces, et cetera. I would then have another super user in your clinical section, so to work with your MAs, nurses, providers. This person would be the person who is using the clinical part of the EMR daily, is super familiar with it, is super familiar when you have a wish list of how you would improve it, you know, for usability purposes. I would then have also somebody from your front desk, and front desk and billing tend to dovetail more than might be apparent for folks. So there's a lot of functionality in a lot of EMRs where what you do on the front desk determines how the billing works, for instance, for auto eligibility verification. So I would have somebody in that space. And then finally, I would have somebody in the RCM space, the RCM slash quality space. Sometimes they're hand in hand in terms of how the reporting goes, and it's all dependent upon your specific EMR. So if you had 4/5 people who all were working daily in their space and working together, they could cover anything that's happening. I have set up a client this way, and so I know that when we're working on quality, we definitely want to have included the quality super user. And then sometimes, though, that quality super user might involve the clinical person as well, because then we're going to have to build a form that meets the quality measures in the clinical application. So you bring in people as needed. The nice thing about that is if somebody leaves or if somebody goes on, let's say, unfortunately, an extended medical leave, short-term disability, for instance, you still have everybody with enough cross-knowledge to continue the practice going forward and meeting the goals.
At this point, we have pretty much covered it all, but to further illustrate what it means to cope with the loss of a super user, I wanted to know if you had any real-world examples of how a healthcare organization successfully navigated through the departure of a super user. Do you have any in mind?
Sure. We've had a good relationship with a large orthopedic practice. Their practice manager, as we discussed earlier, was their super user. And upon first meeting with the client, you know, we take a holistic look with everybody that we work with. And so upon our first meeting with the client, we said, it's great. You are incredibly knowledgeable, and to the practice manager, but we said, it, you probably should have some other people. And they had, their geographic setup was such that they had a couple of offices and an office manager at each one. Ideally, they should be super users as well. They can handle the day-to-day task. We have a new MA starting here, so we want them to know how to do that. We did set that up. We thought we'd be working with that particular practice manager for a long time. They had been with the company for a long time. They had started as an MA and had worked their way all the way up. Unfortunately, that particular practice manager left kind of unexpectedly, but they did have enough time to take one of their office managers, who we recommended that they get trained, and make the next practice manager. So we did that. And with the client, we brought in the quality person. We made them a super user. We brought in a clinician to make them a super user. And we brought in a person from their PT department to make them a super user. And things were moving along smoothly until the second practice manager had to leave as well. They brought in, and as companies traditionally do, they, when you're looking for a practice manager, you're looking for that leadership experience and not necessarily a super user for the practice manager. They brought in somebody who had never been in the system before. And as a matter of fact, there was an uptick on that person's specific learning, but they have done great with it. And while we were doing that, their quality person also left to begin a new career in a different field. Have effectively, we're on a new batch. Let's say we've replaced all four super users and one position we've replaced twice. However, we've created that capacity for leadership among the people that we designated as super users with the practice. And now they're currently have moved, and it was almost a seamless integration. They have called us and said, hey, we need your help in this process. So we've been able to work on every area of the practice, and we've been able to help them meet their goals. In terms of quality, they were looking at a MIPS penalty. Now they're looking at MIPS incentives. So we've been able to make that a seamless process. And once again, we partnered with them to make sure that, you know, they were thinking about things. You know, it's very helpful to have an outsider's perspective when you're dealing with, you know, turnover, especially at the leadership level. So we've been able to partner with them. The practice has kept moving forward, has kept moving towards the goals that they've had, you know, their 5-year plan, their 10-year plan. And the fact that they've had some turnover in key positions has not hurt them.
Thank you, Jim. I think examples like that really lock in these concepts, taking it from theory into real practice. Thank you for powering through all of this with me. I have one final question. Can you again briefly summarize the role of healthcare consultants to support organizations in regard to super user transitions?
Sure. So the short answer is we are the pros in most, almost all, in the case of Medical Advantage, pretty much any EMR that you have, we are the pros. And if you find yourself where you need full knowledge, operational knowledge of your EMR and your systems, we have that at the end of a phone call. Whereas you may have to train, somebody and then experience training drift, and they don't know how to do everything that a super user would do. You call us, we can help you. If you have a situation where somebody left unexpectedly, somebody hit the lotto for $1 billion, and they decide that, you know, work's not necessarily in my future anymore as of, you know, 9 o'clock last night. Well, you can call us. We can help on an interim basis to help get you through that critical phase. Also, we partner with you. We take a holistic look at your entire EMR, everything. We can help with everything from end user training to builds to quality work to RCM work. And so effectively, I like to refer to it as we are at the end of a phone call. If you were to call me today and get me access to your system, I could be helping you today. And so when you're really up against it is a great time. A better time is before, because you don't know what your super users have learned. You don't know what type of institutional knowledge has escaped the institution because of turnover. And you don't know, you know, we pride ourselves on keeping up with anything that is new to your EMR. And so we can give you updates on your EMR that maybe you missed because a practice manager was busy being a practice manager and not following the EMR updates that may be, you know, come as an email in your other box. So you get all the knowledge you would need immediately, and then you can, you know, then you can make that determination. What should that relationship look like going forward? I have some clients who called me one time for something very specific, and now we work with them on all aspects of their EMR. I have some that say, you're my trainer. When I hire somebody, you train them. I have some that we work, you know, we have worked to train their super users to the point that, you know, after many, many months, we get a call saying, hey, I'm not sure how to show you this. Can you get online and demonstrate it to me? We'll do that. In this moment in time, or this snapshot in time, we are working with a lot of folks on quality. There are some changes coming to quality as the COVID exemption ends for a lot of practices, and people have not looked at their quality in the better part of 3 years because they've been able to take the exemption for the last 3 years. And 2024, there's going to be some significant changes that we can help navigate. So I would say that we are a phone call away, and the help is a phone call away. You can have that immediately. And that's probably the best reason to partner with somebody like Medical Advantage.
Yes, with the absolute imperative to have that super user or have enough super users, coupled with everything being in flux in healthcare, you certainly need support services to keep operations running smoothly. I absolutely agree. And this perfectly wraps up our podcast. Should you have any questions regarding the topic covered today, please contact us at info@medicaladvantage.com. We are prepared to help. Visit our blog for an abundance of EHR resources and for healthcare industry insights you won't hear anywhere else. Please help yourself to older episodes in our podcast library. Plus, join us back here for our next episode coming soon.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage Podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.